Let's start with a quick review of what we did yesterday on Daf Kuf Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara says that Efshel Sohto Atzmo Tanoihi. The Gemara is going to quote a Braisa which records a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim with an interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda and Nasi. And the machlokas in that Braisa is identical with Efshel Sohto Asur, Efshel Sohto Mut. The Sanya Tipas Cholav. Shenofla al hachaticha. Now we have Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Kevin shenosna tam bechaticha. Hachaticha atzma nases nevela vaoseres kol hachatichos kulon. Mifnei shein mina divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda applies the principle of chaticha nas nevela. Once the chaticha yona becomes asura, as a result of the fact that the Tipas Cholov gave tam in that chaticha, which means that there was no shishim in that chaticha against the Tipas Cholov, now that chaticha becomes nevela. It itself is a chefzadi sura. And with or without niyar, which is going to be the subject of that discussion back and forth, it generates an isur on all the chatichos, which means that unless you have shishim in the other chatichos, then everything's going to be also. That's if you hold min b'mino is bottle. Rabbi Yehuda happens to hold that min b'mino afilu b'elaflo bottle, which means that min b'mino oseris b'mashu, and therefore when this chaticha, which is now nevela, gives its taste into the other chatichos, all of them are asuras, no matter what the number, the volume of the chaticha samutaros are. Or is, I should say. And the reason for that is because min b'mino lo batal. Now, what we're seeing here is, as the Gemara is going to explain, efshel soto asur, because if you would hold efshel soto muta, then there's no reason why that chaticha should give tam into the rest of the kedera, but rather we should have said that if the chaticha, for example, falls into rotev and other kinds of liquids, which would now become a tarovus of min b'she'eno mino, then l'chora we wouldn't have to be mevatel l'chaticha, because the tipas cholov itself would be betel, and even that first chaticha would be muteris. And what the Gemara is going to try to develop here is that according to the first Tana in this price, that's Rabbi Yehuda, once that chaticha al-yona became asura, by virtue of the fact that the Tipas Chol gave tam in that chaticha, it remains asur li'olam. And no matter how many times you cook it, with how much volume of meat or rotev, whatever it might be in the second kedera, it always, the tam always remains trapped in that chaticha. And since that tam has spread throughout the entire chaticha, the chaticha becomes nevela, such that now when it gets mixed up with other chatichos, it generates an iser of min b'mino. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Then we go on to the Chachamim. Chachom Omrim, ad shetitein tam berotev ubekipa ubechatichos. Chachamim say, let's gather together all the different types of food that's in the second kedera, and let's see if the tipas cholov that fell on the first chaticha, now through the medium of that chaticha, which is now being cooked together with all these other things, the rotev kippah and chatichos, would give tam. If there's shishim, which presumably there will be, in the rotev kippah and chatichos against the tipas cholov, then not only could we be mata the entire kedera, we could even be mata the original chaticha. And that's going to be Efshel Soto Muta, which means that we can get that Tipas Cholov out in the second cooking, and so to speak, drain it out or squeeze it out, surgically remove it, whatever you want to say, and everything remains Muta, but even the Tap Chaticha becomes Muta. That is the first part of this price, the recording of Machlok Shem of Yehuda and Chachamim. Now the second part of the Braisa introduces Rav Yehuda Nasi's interpretation of this machlokes. And he says the following. Omar Rebbe. Nirim divrei Rebbe Yehuda bishalonir vishalokisa vidivrei chachamim bishanir vikisa. Rebbe Yehuda says that Rebbe Yehuda Nosi, I mean, says that Rebbe Yehuda in the Mishnah, in this Braisa, makes sense. I would accept his Shita if there was no Nir. Now, the Gemara is going to jump on this, pounce on this. How could it be if there's no Nir? How does the Tap Chaticha become the conduit to bring the Tam and transfer the Tam into the rest of the Kedera, the second Kedera, if there was no Nir? And we're going to see that the Gemara is going to reinterpret these words of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Shalom Nir, and see, we'll see a whole other pshat in Shalom Nir. As far as the Chacham is concerned, it makes sense, says Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that the Tipa would be mispashetes throughout the entire Kideru, can certainly be mevatel that Tipa, and even be matel the original Chaticha, bishanir v'kisa, if one of these two actions were implemented, either nir or kisa, because that will allow the spreading of the tam of cholov that fell into the tap chaticha to the rest of the kedera. And even though you might argue that before the nir, that tipas cholov generated an isa tam in the tap chaticha, and once it did so, it would be chaticha nasis nevela. The chiddush here of the Chachamim, and that's the way Rabbi Yehuda Nasi accepted it, is that through the process of Nir, we can get that Tipas Cholov out of the original Chaticha. We can squeeze it out, remove it out, that's called Efshe Sotom Mutter, and Memela, we have Shishim against that Tipa. Now again, we've mentioned time and time again that Tosus understood from Rashi that the Tap Chaticha was half in the Rotev and half out of the Rotev. And according to Rashi, Tosus argues we really don't need Nir at all, because once the Chaticha is half submerged in the Rotev, that itself would allow the Chaticha to be the conduit and bring the Tam of the Tipa into the rest of the Kedera. Tosus himself therefore interprets that we're talking about a case where the entire Chaticha was above the Rotev. According to Rashi, if half the Chaticha was above the Rotev, then Nir means that we submerge the Chaticha completely in the Rotev. It's covered by the Rotev. In other words, if it was only Chetzia covered, then for some reason, according to Rashi, we don't know why, Tosa says he disagrees with this, but there would not be his Pashtus of the Tam throughout the Kedera, despite the fact that the Chaticha is partially submerged in the Rotev. But only when you do the act of Nir, that's what comes out according to Rashi, and you completely cover the Chaticha in Rotev, it's now submerged, if you will, in the Rotev, that's when the Tipas Cholov is Mispashetes Bechol HaKedera. So right away the Gemara jumps on this text, as we have it, of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Milo nir v'lo kisa, ile milo nir klal v'lo kisa klal. It cannot be that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had in mind that he accept Rabbi Yehuda and the entire kedera becomes asura in a case where there was no nir, no kisui. We definitely need nir and kisui. And yesterday we had a long discussion about the Ramban shita, because the Ramban doesn't say so. The Ramban insists that even without nir, the chaticha yona will generate an Isra on the rest of the Kedera. This Gemara, according to the Ramban, is only going according to the Mandiyoma, who says, Efshel Soto Mutter. And then what he's trying to do is, he's trying to squeeze out the Tam Chol Balu and the Tam Chaticha. For that, for sure, we need Nir. But we hold that Efshel Soto is Osir. And if we hold Efshel Soto Osir, the Ramban insists we don't even need Nir. Which again makes sense according to Rashi's interpretation of this Gemara, but I'm not sure if we can make that combination. That's a tzarchian. That needs a lot of work. But right now, we're talking about the literal translation of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that lo nir means lo nir klal. So the Gemara says, mivla bavla mifla lo polit. There's no way you could say without nir that the tipa is poletes, meaning that there is a situation in which the tam of the chalav hapalua will now penetrate and contaminate the rest of the chatichos because there was no near. And if there was no near, then there's no action which will serve the capacity of transmitting the tam from chaticha rishona to the rest of the kedera. Now I'll just read to you a note here in the Masifta. He says shemitchilo lo nivla chalav ela bechelka elyon shel chaticha. Initially, there was a blia of chalav in the top part of the chaticha. Ve'enu yotze misham, and it won't exit. Kevet shechelik zein anosim b'tocha rotev. This is Rashi Shita that the chelik ha'elyon that's above the rotev of this chaticha will trap the chalav, and there's no penetration beyond the top half of that chaticha, unless you are near. And therefore, according to Rashi, the Gemara needs near in order to transmit the tam, even though half of the chaticha is submerged in the rotev. So that's what you have there. Now, when it says nirim divrei Rabbi Yehuda b'shalo nir b'shalo kisa, according to the Ramban and the Ritva, it means b'shalo nir v'kisa klal. Shigam sham kolak der neseres. So in other words, the Gemara's reinterpret Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, but that's only, as we said earlier, in the Ramban's frame of reference, because the Gemara is holding Efshel Soto Muta, but if you hold Efshel Soto Asur, then the Tipa is Mispashetes Bechol Hakdera. However, the Ritva adds the following: Nishara Gemara Bukimta Shehemida B'Meduba B'Nir V'Kisa Basov Almanas Ashmenu Chidu Shegam Kishenil Basov Ein Omrim Shatipa Choseres Mispashetes Bechol Hakdera. In other words, the Gemara wants to tell another chiddush here that even though eventually he did do near, still we're not going to say that the tipa was swallowed up, so to speak, by spreading it throughout the kedera. Vinidones benesinas tam v'kula, and we treat this tipas cholav as if it spread throughout the kedera, but rather kevet shachaticha nesra, since at stage number one before he did the near, the first chatich became asura, me'ata. Now we're going to take a look and see if there's shishim kenegad the entire chaticha. And again, that goes according to the chachamim, if you hold min b'mino's batel, or even according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it will be a case of min b'sheino mino. Ubazela manu b'birur she'efshel soto asur. Ah, from the fact that we need shishim against the entire chaticha, if he does near at the end, it absolutely proves that Efshel Soto is also. She'ilu ha'efshel Soto muta, ha'yolanu l'shar b'tipa bilvad. We wouldn't need shishim against the chaticha, we just would remove the dam, chalav ha'balua through the surgical operation of schita by virtue of the fact that through near, the tipa's chalav is now spreading throughout the chaticha. The answer is, we don't hold like that. We hold Efshel Soto Asur, and therefore, this chaticha is holding on to a tipa's chalav that has a profound influence on this chaticha, and it makes this chaticha into nevela. Ella says the Gemara, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi ben he says lo near? He means lo near bitchila el basof. Lo kisa bitchila el basof. And the Gemara is going to explain now why Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in this scenario finds the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa very attractive. And the Gemara says the following: Amai ha bola veha polat. Why does that chaticha become a chaticha asura? After all, habola v'hapolat. morning, Rabosai. So we're just reviewing what we did yesterday. So I'll finish the Chazara. You could, you know, hook in for the last part of the Chazara, and then we'll start the next sugya, Mirtz Hashem. So we're now on the bottom of Kuf Ches Amid Beis, and we're up to the last line that says Habola v'Hapola, which we did yesterday, but we're doing it again now. So the Gemara is asking the following question. Since the original Chaticha, which received the Tipas Cholov, was Bolea, that Tipa, so the Cholov now in its Tam spreads throughout the top Chaticha, but now he cooks it together with the other chatichos in the taroves, and his rotev and his kippah, there's all sorts of good stuff in that kedera. And he did an act of near. So once he does an act of near, we should say now that the process of blia is reversed, meaning that first the chaticha was bolea the tipas cholov, and now it should be poletes. Right, we have a principle that whatever goes in goes out. So whatever, if the Tam Cholov went in, then the Tam Cholov should go out. So the original Bishul, when there was an Afilas Tipas Cholov onto the Chaticha, that was a Prasablia. So that Chaticha was Bolea, the Tam of the Cholov. Now you cook this piece of meat together with other pieces of meat, and now we reverse the process. And that which was Nivla now is Niflat, once he does near. And therefore the Tipas Cholov now should be removed from this original Chaticha, as it spreads throughout the entire Kedera, and the Shishim in the Kedera against the Tipas Cholov. And again, we have to assume one of two things. Either we're talking about a case of Min B'Shein Omino because of the Rotev and the Kippah, or alternatively, we're holding, not like Rabbi Yehuda at this particular moment, we're holding that Min B'Mino is Batel. So Gemara thinks that there's certainly Shishim in the Kedera against the Tipas Cholov. Why is this Chaticha Asura? And the Gemara answers, Kasavar, and this is where Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi accepts Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, Efshal is Soto Asur. In other words, once the original Chaticha becomes Asura, and there's a tam of cholov that spread throughout that chaticha, you could never get that tam out. And even after you do nir and kisui, nevertheless, that piece of basar remains a chaticha sura by virtue of the cholov that it was bolea, because efshel soto asur, meaning we don't recognize the possibility of removing the tipas cholov of, in a sense, purging or squeezing or surgically removing that tipas cholov and its tam from the basar. And now what happens is the basar itself becomes asur. And that reflects the principle which we've mentioned in the past called tam ki'ikar, that the Torah recognizes the tam as if it's the ikar. So now you have a piece of basar that's holding on to and carrying within it a tam of cholov. And Tom Kika tells you that basar is asur. Comes along Rabbi Yehud, and he says, well, if that basar is asur, then after you do nir and kisui, which means one of the two, right, then this piece of basar now is going to give Tom in the other chatichas of basar. And since Rabbi Yehud holds min b'mino lo bata, which means that even if you had 1,000 pieces of meat, they would all become asuros through this tarovas of min b'mino. Therefore, we accept the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says. Now again, La'aloch L'maisi, you asked me, do we paskin that Min B'mino is Afil Belflo Botel? I didn't get a chance to research that. We'll have to open up a Shulchan Aruch in order to get an answer to that. I know that Rashi definitely accepted the principle of Min B'mino Lo Botel. And this Gemara right here seems to indicate that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, no less of a great scholar than Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, accepted the opinion of Min B'mino Afilu Be'elef Lo Batel. That's in the case of Nir Lebasov. Okay, now we move on to Daf Kuf Tes Amud Aleph. So Gemara says the following. Michlal, from the fact that Rebbe accepted Rabbi Yehuda, and he said that if there's Nir Lebasov, then everything becomes Asur, because Min B'mino Afilu Be'elflo Bato. What would be, says the Gemara, Michlal means let's flip around the case, if it would have been a case of Nir Mitchila. Apparently, that far, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is not willing to go. He's very comfortable with Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Nir Lebasov, which means a two-stage process. That initially, the Tam Cholov was Nivla in the Chaticha Yonah. That Chaticha Yonah now becomes Nivela. And then it asks all the other Chatichas. But if he had done a Nir Bitchila, then Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would not go as far as to be excited as Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So the Gemara asks Michlal to Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, if Rabbi Yehuda Nasi did not accept Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Nir Miyad, Mitchila, then Rabbi Yehuda himself apparently would go that far and say that even in the case of Nir Miyad, it would be Asur. So the Gemara says, Savar, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Ki Nir, Mitchila, V'yarasov, even if he did the Nir from beginning till the end, or Kisu Mitchila Vatsov, Asur. And this is a Pella. If there was no Nir at the beginning, how could Rabbi Yehuda possibly say that the Chaticha becomes Asura and then it asks the other Chatichos? After all, if he did a Nir immediately, he jumped the gun, as we say, then the Tipas Cholov is mispashetis throughout the entire Kedir, and there's certainly Shishim against the Tipas Cholov. Amai holobolo klal. There was never a moment in time in which that Chaticha Yonah was bolas the tam cholav, the tipas cholav, because immediately with that act of nir, nispazra or nispashta hatipa b'kol chatichos b'shava. And since there's no 59 here, but rather 60. You know, there's this shishim against that tipas cholov in this mixture. Therefore, everything should be muteris. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say that it's also even in a case where he started immediately with a nir? That nir immediately should certainly function to spread the tipas cholov around the entire kedera, and therefore will apply the principle of bittul. So the Gemara says, Ema. In other words, what is Rabbi Yehuda afraid of? He's afraid, lo nir, yofi, yof, lo kisi, yof. Maybe he didn't do a good job of nir, which might be one of two things. Either he didn't do it really quickly, immediately, urgently, or even if he did it quickly, maybe he didn't mix the entire kedera well, thoroughly, in such a way that the tipas cholov would be spread throughout the entire kedera. And in the meantime, if he didn't do a good job on this nir, then the tipas cholov was nivla'a, was absorbed in that chaticha itself, because that's where it fell. So it's concentrated in that chaticha, although he did a nir immediately, but nevertheless he didn't do a good job. And therefore his nir works against him. Instead of working in favor of him to spread the tipas cholov throughout the entire kedera, he didn't do a good enough job, and now it boomerangs against him, because what's going to happen is that since he did the nir, albeit an inferior nir, that nir is going to function to create an iser by virtue of the fact that now the chatich al-yonah, which absorbed that tipa, is now going to generate an iser in all the other chatichs. And here's where Rabbi Yehuda Anasi rejects Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi never was afraid that lo nir yofa. We're always going to assume that if he does a nir at the beginning, he'll do a good job, and therefore the tipa is going to be mispashetis b'chol hakindera. Under those circumstances, you could say it's a kind of efshel soto mutter in that sense. But if, let's say, he didn't do a nir immediately, then Rabbi Yehuda Anasi accepts the shita Rabbi Yehuda that immediately, because he hasn't done the nir, he delays his nir, the tipas cholov was absorbed by the chatich al yonah, and you can never get rid of it. Even if you do a nir later on, and now you mix this chaticha together with other chatichos, you'll never be able to extract that tipas cholov at its time from the chatich al yonah. And that's called efshe soto asur. So in a sense,
when he does the nir immediately, according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that's not really efshel sof to mutter. That means that the tipas chol never settled down in any chaticha, right? Because he chapped a rein and he was able to jump the gun and get that chaticha spreading throughout the keder. It never really settled in the top chaticha, even though again it fell on that chaticha. That's called nir miyat. That has nothing to do with efshel sof to asur mutter. When is Efshel Sof to Asur Mutter become relevant? In a case of Nir Lebasof, which means that the Tipas Chol settled in the top Chaticha, now he mixes that Chaticha with the other Chatichos, can we say that the Shishim against the Tipa? And here, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi accepts the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that Efshel Sof to is Asur, which means you'll never be able to get rid of that original Tipa, and therefore the chaticha remains asura. Now you're going to need shishim against the chaticha itself, and then you get into the whole issue of min b'mino or min b'she'eno mino. So this was what we needed to finish up yesterday. Now we'll start a little bit the new gemara that we didn't see. Omar Mar, we saw in the Braisa that according to Rebbe, nirim divrei chachamim b'shenir v'kisa. In other words, that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would say that again, what I know from the previous sugya, but the Gemara is now, in a sense, naively putting this information in classified. But what we do know is, as we discussed, that the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's achra to accept the Chachamim was in a case where there was near miyat. Why? Because he's not afraid of lo near yafa. But the Gemara now is, so to speak, unaware of that conclusion. The Gemara really doesn't know. The Gemara is, so to speak, taking a fresh start in analyzing Rabbi Yehuda Nasi when he accepts Chachamim. And what's the case of Nir Adiri Chachamim? So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, Kishin Nir V'Kisa. So the Gemara says, My Nir, My Kisa. Ilema Nir Basof. But lo near bitchila or kisla basof, basof lo kisla bitchila. That doesn't make any sense, because exactly in that case, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi accepted the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that since he didn't do the near immediately, the tipas chol already settled down in the top chaticha, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is right, now the chaticha becomes asura, you cannot extract that tipa, and it spreads throughout the entire kedera. So if we're talking about a case of Nir Lebasov, how is it possible that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's Hachro was to accept the Shita's Chachamim, when in that very scenario he accepted the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda? Ha'amrit Nirim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Beha. Ella says the Gemara, Nir Mitchila V'Yad Sof, Kisa Mitchila V'Yad Sof. He did the nir immediately. The tipas chol never got a chance to settle down in the top chaticha, and therefore it spreads throughout the entire kedera.
What's v'ad sof?
What's v'ad sof? Good question. Why does he need v'ad sof? I think what it means is that he needs v'ad sof to make sure that the tipas chol will spread throughout the kedera. In other words, if he just starts an immediate nir, it doesn't mean that that nir successfully spread the tipas chol throughout the entire kedera.
I see. Doing this won't cut it. Okay.
Now, there's a whole discussion here in the notes. Maybe we'll get to it. What would be in a case where he did the nir b'tchila and he didn't do the nir l'basof? Do we assume that maybe the tipa got stuck somewhere, you know, in one part of the kedera? That's the footnote here. I just don't want to get sidetracked, because I just want to finish this paragraph. He says the following. Again, Ella near mitchila ve'ad sof, kisa mitchila ve'ad sof. Here's where Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is matir, like the Chachamim, because the Chaticha Rishona never became Asura, because immediately he caused the Tipa to spread throughout the entire Kedera, and there it was Betela, there was a Bittel, because it was Shishim against the Tipas Cholov. He's not going to accept Rabbi Yehuda that lo near Yafa, that he didn't do a good job with his Nir. So now we see that the Chachamim hold, in that case where if he did the nir mitchila v'atzof, and he did a good job, according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, we rely on the fact that he did a good job. is Michlal, the Rabbanan Savri, near Basof, lo near Betchilo, Kisa Basof, lo Kisa Batchilo, Mutar. What does it mean? Whenever you say near a Dvarav, in the following scenario, meaning if Rabbi Yehuda Nasi made the comment that in the case of near mitchilo v'atzof, I accept the sheet of the Chachamim, because then the tipas cholov is mispashetes throughout the kedera. So then you're implying that the Chachamim themselves would have gone even a step further, and they would have been matir even in a case of near l'basof v'lo near mitchilo. Do you follow? Everybody follow the methodology here of the Talmud. The methodology is that since Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, I like the sheet of the Chacham, but only in the case of near mitchilo ve'ad sof, that implies that the Chacham themselves went a step further, and they would have been matir even in a case where he wasn't menar mitchilo. Almo kasavri efshel sof to mutter. You see that the Chacham went as far as to say efshel sof to mutter. That Rabbi Yehuda Nasi never accepted. He accepted Rabbi Yehuda that Efshel Softo is awesome, which means that if he didn't do a near at the beginning, but he only did a near at the end, then in stage one, the original Chaticha became Asura, V'yoseris is called a Chatichos through the near Libasof. Ah, you'll ask, why shouldn't the mixture Libasof be enough to purge the original chaticha of its chatichas, of its tipas cholov? And the answer is because efshel soto is asur. Now again, if he had done the near at the beginning immediately, and he did a good job, says Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and then in that sense he embraces the sheet of the chachamim, then the tipas cholov never settled down in the top chaticha. It immediately was mispashetes throughout the entire kedera, and is bittul of shishim against that tipa. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. The Chacham went a step further. The Chachamim said that even if he wasn't menayer batchila, we're going to hold efshel soto mutter, which means that in the second cooking, since the shishim against the tipas cholov, we're going to be able to purge that original chaticha of its tipas cholov.
That first chaticha, whether it's not clear what the chacham is going to hold on that first chaticha, even if they say it's mutter near Basof is mutter, but that doesn't say that first chaticha might still be us.
Correct. Okay. In other words, it comes out like this: that basically, whether or not you're going to apply chaticha nasis nevela in such a way that now you're going to need shishim against that chaticha, really depends on Efshel is sof to asa, efshel sof to mutter. What do I mean? Efshel sof to mutter, efshel sof to asur addresses the case of near lebasof. According to Chachamim, in near lebasof, your chaticha atzmanasis nevela is very iffy. What do I mean it's very iffy? If, let's say, you didn't do a near lebasof, then you would say chaticha nasis nevela, and the original chaticha is certainly asura. But the Chachamim hold, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi refused to accept this, that process, which we call chaticha nasis nevela, is reversible. Meaning that we could actually purge the original chaticha of its cholov. How? By mixing that chaticha in a larger kedera, in which there will be shishim against the tipas cholov. That's called Efshel Soto Mutter. Now let's take the Shita one second of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would not embrace this Efshel Soto Asur. And he holds in a case of Nila Basof, since in stage one, the Tipas Cholov settled down on that top Chaticha, we see it as a permanent settlement. You know, there's no Akirat Yishuvim here. You can't get rid of that Tipas Cholov, no way, no how, no matter how many pieces you have in the second cooking. That's called Efshel Soto Asur. Now, what happens as a result is that since Efshel Soto is Asur, and there's no way you can get the Tipas Cholov out of that Chaticha, therefore, Chaticha Atzma Nasis Nevela, which means the following: that since the original chaticha remains asura, you're going to now see the basar of that chaticha as if it was us.
So, I was originally thinking of this as it's all in the same pot. You know, he stirs it and mixes it and covers it, and there then it, you know, the tikkun chalav comes out according to the Talmud. But he could also take that and put it in a bigger pot of a whole different pot of stuff. And
yeah. Now, Eric, you're raising another question, which is called Eimevatlin Isur L'Chatchila. You familiar with that? So it means that we're not allowed to act. Now, see, in this case, what happens is that, the truth is, actually, I'm not sure about this point that I'm about to make. It could be that even near, let's just think about this, if you're holding that what? See, this could be dependent on the Ramban and the other Rishonim. Let's assume, like Rashi Shita. So according to Rashi Shita, the Tipas Cholov is now focused and concentrated exclusively on the Tav Chatich until you do near. And that's why, number one, the Tipas Cholov is not Betela. And number two, that's why this Chatichas Basar, if it's mixed with other Chatichos, is considered Nevela. Now, here's the question. Is near a violation of the principle called Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila? Now, I would say the following. That if it's a violation of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila, because by doing this near, what you're doing is you're trying to get rid of the Cholov. Again, I'm not sure, but let's assume, for argument's sake, that it is a violation of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila. Then, at least according to Rashi Shita in the Sugya, it makes no difference whether you do near in that Kedera, or for all intents and purposes, you would take out that Chatich El Yona and cook it in a second pot. In both cases, you would be violating the Isur Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila. And it's a little bit odd then that the Gemara is talking about a case of near, which means he was in violation of the law. I mean, it's possible, but the other... Yeah, I'm sorry.
The Gemara is saying that it's near Miyad, either it was near Miyad, because it never got the...
Right, in near Miyad, I understand. But if it's near Levasov, that's a little bit more complicated, because then what we're saying is that the Tipas Cholov settled in the Tav Chaticha. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi went as far as to say as the Chatich becomes the Vela and it generates an Isur and all the other Chatichos. And now what he's going to do is, according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda, because Efshel Sotah Mutter, he's going to do a Nir and he's going to extract that Cholov from the Basar. Now, is that the same as Nir Miyad? You know, the Nir Miyad, maybe that's not called Eim Vatlan Isur Chatchila because... You know, nothing has happened yet. You know, there was never an Isur generated. But in the case where he's near Levasov and there was an Isur generated, if you would, you know, freeze the frame, as we say, at that point before he does the near, then that Chatichas Basar is a Chefetz of the Isur.
Maybe the principle of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila is totally irrelevant, Paul. Maybe they're only talking.
Correct. It could be that he violates the Isur of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila. We're only talking about the status of the Kedera. What am I allowed to eat afterwards?
So, yeah. Are they saying that? That chaticha is mutter now.
Yeah, that's called efshel sotah mutter.
Efshel sotah means that chaticha is mutter, or that the
right that chaticha is mutter, even though you only have shishim against the tipas chol. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi didn't go that far. He was willing to say that if you did a near miyad, that's where we can rely on that near. It's a near yafa, as we call it, against Rabbi Yehuda, but. If you didn't do the near miyad, then we're going to accept Rabbi Yehuda, hook, line, and sinker, which means two things. Number one, it means that you'll never be able to purge that original chaticha of its tam cholov. And number two, it means that now you're going to ask the whole kedera. Now, what does it mean you're going to ask the whole kedera? Here we get into issues about min b'mino, min b'she'eno mino. The implication of this brisa, if I read it correctly, is that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi accepted Rabbi Yehuda that min b'mino afilu b'elef lo bata. So therefore, if you're holding now that lo near yafeh, or for that matter, in the case of near l'basof, lo near b'tchila, in those two cases, what's going to happen is that if you have chatichos of basar in the second kedera, which let's assume you do, then as a result of this near, everything becomes asar. So let's take according to Rabbi Yehuda, who equates near mitchila with near lebasov, meaning we don't rely on his near mitchila. So he meant to do something positive, you know, to be metaken, and instead he was mekalkel, because as a result, Not only is he not going to gain his goal to be matir the tarchatich, but he's going to have to throw out the entire kedera. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, efshel soto is asur. And now that he does the nir, he can't get rid of the original status of the and the tam of the iser in the first chaticha. Now the chaticha generates an iser in all the chatichas midin mashu, which means min b'min afilu be'elflo bata. So according to you, you never get into the issue of v'mavat l'nisa chaticha because adarav everything is going to be awesome. But according to the chachamim, if he does a nir, and the chacham goes as far as to say is even if he does a nir l'masov. Because there's no real fundamental machlokas about nir mitchila. It's only a question, did he do a good job? He didn't do a good job. But there is a fundamental machlokas in the case of nir l'basov. Because here the chacham are going to say that you can actually extract the tam and you can be mat to the original chaticha. You don't need shishim against that chaticha. If you have shishim against the tipas cholov, that's enough to be mat to everything. And now I wonder, is he in violation of the principle of ein mevat l'nisul chatchil?
Maybe with chachamim his not if he stays in the same pot, because I mean, it all starts with it. It happened that it fell. It wasn't, you know, done on purpose. So maybe, you know, this is still considered part of the original act.
Right, but
maybe
technically,
switching to another pot would be more of a problem.
But I'm saying, Eric, technically, if he comes to the rabbi and he says, "Rabbi, tipas chol fell on the top chaticha. I'd like to mix it together with the rest of the kedera." I'm going to Chachamim, of course, because Chachamim old efshe sota muta. I think the rabbi would tell him not to do that, because what you're doing is you're taking a chaticha which right now in its present state has the status of Iser, and you're being matir.
But here they seem to be saying that it's okay.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. I'm not sure if they're saying it's okay or it's been the evidence. You know, he went ahead and he, you know, what do they say? He changed the facts on the ground.
Don't
that
ask until afterwards.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what we have in Yiddish, Eric. We have a phrase. I'll teach you a little Yiddish. You know, Sephardi can also learn Yiddish. Right? There's a phrase in Yiddish that goes, "As mefrek the shayla is treif." As soon as he asks the question, they'll tell you it's treif. So the best thing is never to ask shayla. It's a Jewish phrase. It's you know, Yiddish humor. You know, "As mefrek the shayla is treif." So that's an interesting question, which again has to be taken under advisement. Is there a violation here of ein mevatlin iser l'chatchila? Okay, now let's see. I'm in a bind. I want to know whether we should learn one more piece of Gemara or we should go to the Moreshes Moshe, which John was kind enough to photocopy. Yeah, I think we'll do a little bit of Moreshes Moshe because this sugya really continues here on Kuftes Amun Aleph until the Mishnah. So there's no way that we can fit that in the time that we had, and this will give me enough work to do for tomorrow, if you know what I mean. So let's put this now, the Gemara, on the side. You have the photocopy? Now what you're looking at on one side is Taf Pei Vav. I have it on, you know, two sides, Taf Pei Vav, and on the other side I have Taf Pei Zayin. You have that?
Yeah.
With a lot of my scribbles on the side. Yeah. Now, what we want to get from Taf Pei Vav on the right side is the Shita of the Rashba, which you'll see in a paragraph that starts Nafkimina on the left column. Do you see that? So the Rashba will be mentioned on the line 4 of that paragraph. So I think I underlined it.
Yes, yes, you did. You underlined it and started.
Yeah, it started. Now, in order to appreciate this Rashba, we go back to what's called Rabbeinu Ephraim, which is in the previous paragraph. Rabbeinu Ephraim is of the opinion that if we were dealing with Nevela, not with Basa B'Cholav, so for example, you cooked a piece of nevela in the first cooking with a piece of basa shchuta, so that's called shar isurim, other isurim, other than basa b'cholav, then there's no din of chaticha nasis nevela. Which means that if you can identify the heter, in the first Kedera that now became Asur, and it fell into a second Kedera, all you would need is Shishim against the Nevela. Again, that doesn't impress me in a case where there's one on one, but imagine a case where there's one on 30, meaning that the Nevela itself was a very small, call it a Kezias, and it fell into a Tarovis of 30 Kezasim's worth of Heter. Now, I take out one of those pieces of Heter, and it falls into another Kedera. So do I need Shishim against the original? Okay. Actually, again, I still didn't really change the numbers. So let's say that all 30 pieces of Heter now fall into another Kedera, just to dramatize it. So is it enough to be Mavatal it by getting Shishim against the original Kezias of Nevela that was cooked in the first cooking? According to Rabbi Ephraim, all we need now in the second Kedera is Shishim against the original Kezias of Nevela. In other words, we're not going to apply the principle of Chaticha Nasis Nevela. And those 30 pieces of meat of Heter that now became us in the first Kedera are just simply, if I could call it, carriers, as we said many times, to bring the Tam of the Kezias Nevela into the second Kedera. And there's certainly Shishim Kezasim of Heter in the second Kedera. And that would be enough, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim. Why? Because all that got mixed into the second Kedera was that one Kezias Nevela's worth of Tam. And that's because we don't apply the principle of Chaticha Nas Nevela to Shari Surim. Now, wait a minute. Well, just a second. I'm just going to ask my question, Eric, so that I don't forget it, and then you're on. But what would be the status, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, of the 30 pieces of Heter, if I could identify them in the second Kedera? You go ahead, Eric. I just wanted to get that question so I don't forget it.
Well, I guess this somewhat relates. So that means he also doesn't hold min bimino.
Oh, okay. I didn't get into that. I just gave you an example. I just gave you an example that popped into my head just to make life easier for ourselves. But maybe instead of 30 kizasim of basa, I should have given you a case of 30 kizasim's worth of rotev. You know, if you want to go with that. Because I don't know. I can't commit Rabbeinu Ephraim to one sheet or the other as far as Rabbi Yudin Chacham min bimino. I don't know. You know,
if that, it's two different types of meat, say sheep and cow.
Again,
does that mean,
you know, we're going to have to take up min bimino as a separate topic. I mean, you know, we're learning Basa B'chalav. There's a whole world called Tarovis. And again, there's a lot of overlap. You know, you can't learn one without the other. But
so the answer to my question is Yish Machloket.
Probably. There's Machloket between the Shach and Taz. What does min bimino mean? Does min bimino depend upon the shame or on the tam? So you can have two things that have the same tam, but they have different shemos. And then according to, I don't remember who holds what, the shach or the taz, that's called min b'sheino minim, because they have two shemos, even though they have the identical tam. That's a mind-boggling shita. And then you have another shita that says it all depends upon tam. So you can have two things that have two shemos, but they have the same tam. You know, you give it to a kfela, he doesn't know the difference between, you know, between sheep's meat and goat's meat. It all tastes the same to him if he can't see it, you know. So one shita would say, well, it's got two different shemos, and therefore it's min b'sheino minim. It's min b'sheino minim. And the other says, no, it's got the same time, and therefore it's min b'mino. Again, this is gigantic, you know. This is... But Rabosa, let's focus now on Rabbeinu Ephraim, because we got off on a tangent here when we're talking about min b'mino. Rabbeinu Ephraim is telling me that all I need in the second Kedera is Shishim against the original Nevela. Is that clear? Because in Shari Sur, we don't apply the principle of Chaticha Nas Nevela. Now, and here's where the Rashba comes up, what about that Chaticha that was cooked, meaning the Basa Heta that was cooked in the first Kedera? And that really depends upon a different question, namely what? Efshel Soto. In other words, now that I take that chatichas heter that has a tam balu of nevela in it, what would Rabbeinu Ephraim say when I cooked it in the second pot? I have shishim against the tam and the nevela. Do I say therefore that I got rid of, what's the word in English? Extricated? Expurated?
Extricated.
Yeah, but there's another word that I'm looking at.
Extract.
Purge, yeah, expurated. Or that, anyways, yeah, there's another word. That I was able to
extract.
extract.
Yeah, I know the word extract, but I'm telling you there's another word here that would be even more appropriate here. But in any event, we don't have a thesaurus, so we'll just go with it. That I can actually remove the tam of the vela that settled into those pieces of basar het in the first kedera. So that's where the Rashba comes up and he says no. He says that achachaticha atzma, right, that's the first chaticha that was cooked with nevela in the first cooking, asura. Why? Mishum dechayshinan shelo polta hakol. So again, as far as the balance of the kedera, meaning all the new pieces of heta that are now being cooked with what used to be heta, but now is isur, then I apply the principle of lo amrinan chaticha nasis nevela, and all you need is shishim against the original tam of the nevela. But if you're talking about that chaticha per se, or whatever number of chatichas you had that received the tam of the nevela, they remain asuros, because we're not able to do an absolute schita, if you follow what I mean. Now, how much tam is left in the, I'm going to call it the original chaticha. You understand, again, on the side, it could be many, many chatichas, but I'm just going to call it the original chaticha of heter, because I'm using the parallel to tipas chol. So there's one chaticha. How much tam is left there after the second cooking? So one sheet, which is going to be the bottom left of your page, which is, let's call it the Chidushei Arim, they're going to learn that a full tam is left in that chaticha. Meaning, just like in the first cooking, you have tam, which means that there's no shishim, so too in the second cooking, that very tam itself, we're afraid, is still left in that chaticha. And why does the Chidushei Arim insist on that qualification? Because he wants to employ the principle of tam ki'ikar. Now, tam ki'ikar only applies when there's no shishim. Here we have shishim against the tam chol, because we're not holding chaticha nasis nevela in Shari's room. We're standing on the shoulders of Rabbeinu Ephraim. So that means the chatichas heter that falls into the second kedera is nothing more than a medium to bring that tam into the second kedera. Now you are mavatel b'shishim that tam. So what are you going to tell me? But that original piece still has some sort of vestige of tam left in it. Okay, but how much tam is in there? Is it enough to really generate an isur in that chaticha if you extracted 99% of the tam and you're left with 1%? So that's not called tam ki'ikar, because that tam is a tam that's bottle. Whenever you have shishim against the tam, that tam is completely nullified. But if you move on to page Tuf Pei Zion for a moment, you're going to see that many Rishonim apparently hold Ein Ha'isa Niflat Legamre, which means that all that's left in that chaticha as a result of the second kedera, the second cooking, is only a mashu. And now we have a basic question. If it's only a mashu, why should it be asur? That's not tam ki'ikar. Tam ki'ikar means when you have a significant tam, but here there's no significant tam. Now, I gain one thing here in the mechanics, according to this shita of Tosfos and the Balamor and so forth, namely why Timas Kfela is not mentioned. And nobody whispers a word about giving it over to a chef. Why are we racking our brains to figure out if after the second cooking, this piece of meat is completely purged of its tam nevela or not? Why not give it to a kfela? Again, you may come up with many, many different answers to that question, but one answer would be that it's only a tam of mashu. And a tam of mashu is not something that a kfela could be margish. He can't tell.
It's still going to be awesome because of...
Oh, why is it going to be awesome? That's what this whole article is all about. The page that we photocopied. Why is it still usur if it's only got a mashu? A mashu is not a significant tab. The halacha doesn't recognize a validated mashu.
Unless it was already usur.
Okay, so let's go through the three shitas one by one. You see, the second paragraph is a short paragraph with three lines. He says, Achronim is kashu. This was the problem that the Achronim raised. My svaras ha'osrim. What logic does it What? How do you make sense of this logic according to this second view, the view of Tosfos and the Baal HaMor? Im nisha b'chatichas mashu, therefore it's only a mashu of isur. V'kol she'ein bo shir no seng tam, ein b'kol chol le'asar. We don't have anywhere in halacha that if you have something less than a shir of the sinas tam, that it's awesome. Now again, you might ask me, what about min b'mino according to Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. No, that's something totally different. That doesn't mean that there's a mashu of tam. What that means is that everything has the same tam, and therefore there's no bittul. But where there is halacha of bittul, why should we be nervous about a mashu? The mashu is not a significant tam. So you'll notice in the next three paragraphs, he has aleph, beis, and gimel. We're not going to get to Dalet today, but let's do Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Three different answers to this question. So we start with the first answer, which is the Chidushe Harim, but not in his first interpretation. We're going to leave his first interpretation for Nobu Gimel. He's changing the order of the Chidushe Harim because he wants to put the Rim together with the Chidosh, the Kovetz Inyonim, which I believe... Don't quote me on this, but I believe Kovetz Inyona was authored by Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, he says the following. Brilliant. This is mamish brilliant. He says the following. That in Basa B'Cholov, there's no such din as Bittul. Why? And we discussed this, I think, in the past. I mean, this was a major subject of my 1145 shiur for you. We have a rule, which is the paradigm for me is Kilayim, in Shatnez, is that heter beheter, there's no bittul. Bittul requires what we call hit not shoot. You know, you have to have a force and a counterforce. You know, Hegel would call it a thesis and an antithesis, right? But if everything is heter, then what's going to be vatal what? They just link together, they join together forces. It's heter beheter, there's no bittul.
When you say heter heter, you mean each thing...
In and of
separate
itself.
Is okay, but the mixture is...
Right. So, for example, you have a gigantic beggar that stretches from here until the end of Katamon, and it's made of tzemer, and you take one thread over here, and it's made of pishtan, and you sew it up, the whole beggar is awesome. It's one in 10,000.
That's
called
a kuli
alma? That's kuli alma. That's called heter, heter, lo bottle.
Mm-hmm. But with Basar B'Cholov, we talk about the fact that it's a matter of tam, not a matter of just
correct. But what
life,
you're doing is you're mixing a tam which is mutter with a tam that's mutter. You understand what I'm saying? Because the tam of Basar per se is mutter, the tam of Cholov is mutter. So when you mix two tams and they're both heter gomor, then how are you going to apply bittul? I mean, where's the battleground over here? There's no force and anti-force.
Bittul is, it's got to be, you can't taste it at the time.
Oh, so who cares if you can't taste it? Oh, so here we have the sheet of Rava, which we had on Kuf Ches up in Aleph. It's a little embarrassing because we studied Rava about a month ago, and it's on the second side of the page that we're learning now, but this is one of the biggest dafim and shas. You could probably write a whole sefer on just on Kuf Ches in Masechta Chulin. And Rava says that this halacha in Basa B'Cholov called Derech Bishul Asur Torah, that the Torah only prohibited Basa B'Cholov if this Basa B'Cholov combination was subject to Bishul, to being cooked together. I don't care who cooks it. It could be a guy, it could be a fell from heaven, I don't care. But if there was a cooking together, that's called Basa B'Cholov. Basa B'Cholov is the result of, what's the precondition? It's like in college, you can't take an advanced course unless you take the prerequisite. What is the prerequisite for Basa B'Cholov being awesome?
Bishul.
And that Bishul has to be Derech Bishul. That's what Rava says on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. Derech Bishul means in a way that the chef would add something into the, you know, one of the ingredients into the pot, because it adds something and changes, hopefully enhances the taste of the pot. But if there's no tam, then that's not called Derech Bishul. Oh. If that be the case, how does this help us now? Hacha da'avi derech bishul mitchila. What happened? He cooked chalav with basar, right? In the first round. So now it's a chefetz of basar v'chalav. Then, even if what you're left with through the process of schita is a mashu, Nevertheless, a mashu is not batel. Normally, a mashu is batel, but when you're talking about heter beheter, there's no bittel, which means even a mashu is also like that one string, one thread of pishton in a gigantic beged of tzemer. So, if you have one little tam of cholov in this gigantic piece of meat, that's also. Elo, what it wasn't derech bishul, but here it was derech bishul. Why? Because in the first round, he cooked it. Mamish, beautiful. You know, if it was up to me, I would stop right here, quit while you're ahead. I mean, it's such a good shot. I don't feel any compulsion to go on beyond this.
Oh, wait a minute. So, Notein Tam is relevant for the first Kedera, but not for the second Kedera? Is that what you just said?
No, what I meant, maybe I did say that, but what I meant to say was the following, that since there was cooking here, and the tam of cholov went into the basa through cooking, it doesn't matter whether that tam cholov is a mashu or not. Why? Mashu is relevant to bittul, but in hilchas basa v'cholov there is no such thing as bittul. All you need to say is to fulfill one requirement. What's the condition? Derech bishul. This was derech bishul.
Ah, bishul doesn't mean notein tam. Bishul means I just heated it up together.
Then he cooked it together, correct.
Okay, thank you.
That's why, if you remember, Rava refuses to derive from basa v'cholov tam ki'ikar, because that's nothing to do with tam ki'ikar. Tam ki'ikar has to do with bittul and not bittul. There is a tam, significant tam. Here it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that there was a combination here in Basa B'cholov, and it was done through Bishul. Now, if it's less than a Sinas Tam, that's not called Bishul, but here, there wasn't a Sinas Tam. In the first cooking, there was already a Sinas Tam.
Once that's done, now it becomes Asurini, because, and therefore it's...
Right, so even if you can extract 99% of the Cholov from that piece of meat through the process of cooking it in the second pot, and that's called Efshel Soto, doesn't matter. Efshel Soto also in Basa B'cholov. And why is that? Because what you're left with is a mashu, and once you fulfill the condition of derech bishul asur Torah, then it's also even a mashu because there's no bittul in het to be het. The Chachamim disagree with this. Just one second.
The pot's mutter if you stir it.
Yeah. Well, that's for a different reason, because they're saying there's not even a mashu left in the basar.
Is it? But there. How can you say there's not a mashu left if you're saying that, in other words, you mixed it into the pot, it was on the chatifa, and now you do it afterwards?
Right.
You're mixing it.
And the Chachamim say
that's okay.
Why? Because the cooking process purges the chol, that it's completely gone.
It completely wipes it out.
Yeah.
Not even mashu left.
You're right. I mean, that's a strange point here. In this context, you know, what are we arguing about here? We're arguing about whether there's a mashu. Again, the kfeilu won't help you because you're dealing with a mashu, but is there really a mashu left? I don't know. You know, I don't even know if it's a... I don't even know if you can send it to a lab and look it up in a... check it in a microscope. I don't think so. I think it's like... it's almost like an abstract concept called...
it's more of a concept
called mashu,
whether it's there or not.
So, Rabosai, let's stop here because of the time, but if you can make a note, either I'll hold on to your pages or if you can hold on to them yourselves, that we finished with the Hiddush HaRim, we have another few approaches, and then we're up to the Sugya Daf Kuf test, and that's, believe it or not, what we'll try to accomplish tomorrow. Okay, then?